Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we are going to be talking about journeying to the center of the earth. And joining us today is Bill Vaughn with FND Peers. Bill, good to have you with us.
Happy to be here.
So he has a company that likes to dig holes. What do you think about that there, Wolf?
Well, I figured it would be hard to come up with a lot of questions to ask a man who digs holes. So what I did with all our followers on Facebook, I sent out on the Messenger app, what can we ask a man who digs holes? And the only people we got replies from were some mafia people in New York and some Mexican drug lords who wanted to know how best to dig shallow holes.
Well, that's because of the way that you constantly promote our Facebook page, and you try to promote it to kind of the bad people. So, you know, we've got our listeners that come in and they're trying to be good, but, you know, you're all mixed up with the wrong crowd sometimes.
Well, just to answer those people, Bill, how much do you normally charge to dig a shallow grave?
Well, for that type of business, it's $80,000 in gold, at least here in Dallas.
Oh. For one grave? We can do that in like 10 minutes
with
two shovels.
And then, you know.
Oh, I'll do it for a six-pack of beer.
Right, yeah. You might be pricing yourself out of the market.
Okay, that's why I'm not getting much work.
No, what we basically have figured out already, I mean, we can go ahead and end the podcast right now. Right. We're in the wrong business.
Well,
we are in the wrong business. We need to dig shallow graves if we can get $80,000 worth of gold.
I don't think he's selling any at that price.
Maybe so. Maybe he's pricing himself out of the market.
Well, originally, one of the first questions we got, and I had to change this because before we came in and before we met you in person, I thought you'd be an older guy. And, you know, so my first question that we actually received
was... I actually self-identify as an old man.
You do? Oh, that's well, you are an old man then. We don't want to misage you.
I'm not an old man.
Well, at what age did you kind of think, well... Yeah, I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be a doctor. I'm going to dig holes. Did you just kind of fall into the job?
Sure. So I actually did want to be a lawyer there for a period of time, but I was 24 when I started digging holes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was working in Oklahoma around the 2013 time, and I was in an industry that was dependent on oil price.
Right.
And right around that time, oil price went down, and I wasn't productive enough.
Okay.
I don't know that I was productive enough when oil prices were high, but I think they just finally started noticing. And so I got laid off.
You know? Okay.
So I had to make an adjustment.
Now, you mentioned earlier to us before the podcast started when we were just chatting that you've really only kind of had two careers.
Sure.
So was that your main job before the whole digging hole thing?
I was really motivated to pay off student loans and do a few other things financially in my life. So I had a full-time job, three part-time jobs, and I donated plasma twice a week.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's good.
Pretty motivated.
Wow. Yeah, I learned actually on Beavis and Butthead that was actually the way to go if you couldn't get any money donating plasma, because there was one episode where they were carrying like this huge, almost like garbage bag full of blood. They were trying to donate so much blood to make money, and well, it'd gone like anorexic because the blood had gone out of his body.
And nowadays, you know, if you get the COVID before and you donate the plasma, now there's a little bit of extra money.
There is. Yeah. When I got COVID back in like either March or April, I went for the test with a hospital, which is not far from our studio here. And I must have got maybe 20 texts across the next month asking me to donate plasma. And they were paying way more, but I just didn't want to be on that list.
Yeah. Sure. Well, you were making more money on your OnlyFans site.
Well, yeah. And plus, you know, kind of the kind of sperm donation had dried up. So,
well, and that kind of goes back to the
kind of dried up, literally.
Thing.
Yeah. But so how... What made you make that shift into digging holes? I mean, I can understand, like, from your previous career, that's really not so much of a jump. I mean, if you had have been like a lawyer or training to be a doctor and then went to digging holes, that would have been a big kind of like paradigm shift. But I suppose it's not that much of a shift given what you were doing before. But I mean, what made you decide, I'm going to dig some holes?
Sure. So I went to school for business finance, and what I was doing...
Where'd you go to school?
Midwestern State. It's a D2 college in Wichita Falls, where the Mustangs.
Yep. Yeah.
So, go Mustangs. But So I had done business finance, had a passion for looking at businesses, the income statement, balance sheet, statement of cash flows, and trying to figure out, you know, is this business worth anything or whatever. And my father, Norman Vaughn, had dug holes for his whole life, and I grew up around that.
Right.
And so when I got laid off, I came home and lived with my parents, and I started as a crummer or a ground hand, a scum, worm, whatever you want to call it, crumbing for Norman, my dad.
Yeah.
And did that for a period of time. And then as time went on, you know, short story long or long story short, ended up becoming one of the owners of the company and just kind of transitioned from there.
Now, where does your last name come from? Because obviously it's
German.
German.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It is of German descent.
Yeah, because it's Vaughn, V-O-N, right?
Yeah.
So I put it like that on a Starbucks cup. It's actually V-A-U-G-H-A-N.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And so V-O-N is the same stinking word. And for quick communication,
sure.
That's what I use.
Now, normally, isn't there another name on the end of like that? Like something Vaughn, blah, 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 or...
I think you might be thinking like Van, like Van Halen or Van
ones.
Mobile or something like that.
But I was thinking more of the Dutch names, you know, because they normally have Van before their last name. And
sure.
I thought Vaughn was maybe the German equivalent, and they had another name
It reminds me of Back to the Future whenever Emmett Brown was saying, when we came to Hill Valley, we were the Von Brauns, and my father changed it to Brown. You know, so I kind of got that kind of German feel there, but I wasn't quite sure.
Right. Now, you have to understand, normally before any podcast, we do... How many hours of research on the topic, on average, would you say?
0.125.
Yeah.
Yes. And lots of research.
And that includes,
lots of research.
And that includes having a slow browser because the Wi-Fi in the studio here is terrible.
Yes, and you refuse to use anything outside of Microsoft Edge.
Right. And also, I mean, I've been trying to, like, download illegal movies via BitTorrent, and it's so slow downloading.
Oh, yeah.
I have to wait till I get home. It's terrible.
Yeah, we're looking at a week to download some Hallmark movie for Christmas.
It reminds me of like 1997 when it took 17 minutes to download one song.
Yeah, and then you realize it wasn't even the right song.
Yeah, it wasn't even the right song. Yeah,
it was in a different language.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. So, So digging holes and stuff, what type of holes do you dig? Because, I mean, you have to remember that last kind of question to the shepherd there was somewhat serious because we actually try not to over-educate ourselves about things.
Sure.
Because then you get a presumption of knowledge and you sound like you know more than what you probably do know. So we like to kind of keep a little bit in the dark about it because we like our guests to actually give us the professional answers to things. So,
sure.
I mean, what type of holes do you dig?
Sure. Well, I'm a PhD, a professional hole digger, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
Possibly permanent head damage. Just
again,
depending on who you talk to. But we do foundation drilling. So not for water, not for oil, strictly dirt, moving soil. That's it. So any type of new foundation, we don't do foundation repair. Anytime someone's putting in a new slab for a home, a church, a theater, a bridge, something of that nature,
we'll do
piers in the ground for that.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So on the average month, how many holes would you say you dig?
I actually figured that up, so about 2,800 would be our average.
Really? 2,800?
Yeah, right at 700 holes a week.
I was thinking like, well, maybe 28
six.
Max.
I was thinking six.
Not 28. Not 2,800.
Because I think about going out in the backyard and grabbing a shovel, and I'm like, I don't even want to dig one hole. But if I was getting paid, I'm thinking, okay, I'll dig one hole a day. Then I'm not digging any holes on Sunday because the Dallas Cowboys dig their own holes right now, and they never
they
can
do it for you.
They never can get out of there. So wow, that is a lot of holes.
Right, you need to pass me that pen back, so I'm gonna get back in touch with the mafia and the Mexican drug lords. Because if he's digging that many holes a month, we need to come back with some arrangement.
Yeah, we can only afford one pen right now.
Right,
we need a pen sponsor. You know, maybe Bic could sponsor us and send us a box of pens because we have one free pen that I found somewhere.
And maybe some razors, because we know Bit Diversify, they've got a lot of different products.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. And Gillette doesn't make pens.
Well, we're not going to use Gillette, remember? Because that conversation we
had
the other day.
Sorry, rabbit hole. I know I'm bad about that.
Yeah. So how many employees do you actually have in your company?
10. We created two more jobs this
year. So how do you
dig
2,800 holes a month with 10 employees?
Five to six rigs, two men per rig, and... Just try to keep up with demand. Yeah.
Wow. That's Now, do you actually dig any, or do you just
kind
of monitor?
So occasionally there'll be a specialty hole or a hole like at the Dallas Water Treatment Plant over in Carrollton, where it's around some particulars, some stuff that they just want somebody that they trust. And so, not that I'm better at digging holes than my guys, but they've been dealing with me for a while. And so if I was to go over there, you know, and that may be a one hole situation.
Now, where do most of your kind of contracts come from? Is it more kind of like private, commercial, government, or where do you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. All of them come right here from DFW. We have done a handful to two handfuls of jobs outside of the States, but generally it's going to be Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we're about 60% residential, 35% commercial, and then 5% government or industrial.
I'm curious, how do you judge someone in their ability to dig a hole?
You talk to them, and then you listen.
So walk me through that. I'm looking at, you know, looking at one of my kids, and they take a shovel out in the backyard and they can't dig a hole to save their life, right?
That's fine.
So obviously, you know, you got people that are trying to be professional. So what do you do when you walk in and you say, I want to see how you can dig a hole? So how do you walk them through that and say, I'm going to try to figure out if you know how to dig a hole?
Well, first thing is they have to want to dig a hole. So I wouldn't go to the market and try and say, hey, I want you to dig a hole for me. I will develop someone in my community who has or presented to me the desire to dig a hole. And basically there's two paths from that point. There's people that are fast and not smooth. And then there's people that are smooth and not fast. I prefer the smooth, not fast.
Okay.
Because developing that person into a high quality producing operator is a much less expensive process.
Sure.
But taking someone who has speed and thinks that, well, this machine isn't doing what I want it to do, so I'm going to make it do what I want it to do, that is a very expensive
So would education. Would you go so far that I remember the pyramid, when you look at a job, there's fast, there's cheap, and there's right.
Sure.
And you can have two of the three,
sure,
but you can't have all three. So in the hole digging business, kind of you're looking that same way.
Yeah, there's a hole digger for every version of that model. Our particular model, it's in our name, F&D, that's fast and dependable. So our customers will get speed, guaranteed production, guaranteed passive inspection. The quality is there because it will be dependable, whether we run into rock, water, tough inspection, variations in the job, that'll be fine. Our customers are absolutely going to give up the price.
That's actually pretty much the same criteria I used to pick my first wife, actually.
Excellent.
I think.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
not good. now, do you have any worms and moles applying for the job? Kind of identifying as humans?
No. There's, you know, in construction, you always have interesting, you know, people.
Right.
You can come from any walk of life and pick up a shovel, so to speak.
Right.
So Andrew Carnegie said, you know, sometimes to mine out the gold in people, you have to get past the bad debt. And I found that to be true.
Yeah.
So sometimes, not always, but sometimes, 10%, you take someone, at any other time you may pass. But if they have, that's where it comes back to, does this person have a desire to learn this craft and then stick with
it?
And so if you find that, you'd be a fool not to develop it.
Well, I mean,
help them along.
Well, as much as that kind of worms and moles thing was a bit of a joke, I would think that the average person, the Shep and I included, would think it must be easy to dig holes.
Right.
But like anything else, I'm sure you can screw it up if you just don't have an affinity or a passion to kind of actually do the job properly.
You and I look at digging a hole as, like I said before, grabbing a shovel.
Right.
And you start digging. And
yeah,
obviously in your industry, it's much different than just grabbing a shovel and saying, hey, go out there and start digging.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it.
Right. So, I mean, do you find that, you know, people who apply for the job are sometimes kind of overconfident because they do think, oh, this must be easy, I'm just digging a hole?
Typically, the people that are applying for the job need the job.
Right.
And so we have a backlog of people that need the job, and our job is to figure out who wants it, who has a desire to actually do this. The money is is part of it, but they need to have sort of like a gift, right?
Sure. So
in a fight, if a monkey got in a fight with an alligator, which one would win? Well, are we going to be fighting in the river? Or are we going to be fighting in the tree?
Right. Oh, so I'm looking. Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Because we're going to do a podcast on that one later. Leave that one alone.
Go ahead and make a note. Leave that alone. Monkey and an alligator.
Monkey and alligator.
Let's write that down. we're gonna have to have you back, and you're gonna have to go ahead. And
well, what we'll do? We'll come up with about 30 different animal kind of matching in a fight type thing. If it was MMA rules, everything's.
Yeah.
Allowable, and we'll decide who would win out of all of those animals.
How do we figure out a way to place bets on this? Can we get some zoo to come along and say, hey, we need to figure out this? Because this is a pressing item that people need to know.
Well, we're probably going to have
monkeys and alligators fighting. I need to know.
Throw people in there. You got Gladiator, baby.
Yeah.
Well, we're probably going to have to take a weekend down to Mexico to actually make this a reality. And otherwise, we're just going to have to simulate it.
Oh, see, so depressing.
It is.
We just can't make this happen right now. Stay tuned. We'll figure it out.
Just purchase Epstein's Island and then turn it into what you want it to be.
There you go. Now, I hear it's for sale.
Yeah. Imagine so.
Now, is it actually a dangerous job? Are there many risks involved in the job?
Just like with anything, I mean, just like with driving a car, if you don't know what you're doing, it can be extremely dangerous. And so with what we do, I mean, you need to understand some basic rules of, you know, gravity and electricity. You want to keep your equipment away from any electrical lines, obviously.
Yeah.
But beyond that, no, it's quite safe.
Okay. Well, we've actually, in our very first episode, what do we believe? I'm not sure if we've covered it in that episode, but we're not sure we're entirely down with the whole gravity theory anymore.
Yeah.
We've got some doubts about gravity. What was that article you read earlier about the whole digging a hole thing
so
through the world?
This would be good for a professional hole digger. So
we're not really.
This isn't
the best question in the world to ask.
Really? Are you going to poop on me already?
Oh, no, go on. Do it.
Okay, so we were looking at something that if you drilled a hole all the way through the earth, one side to the other, and then you threw somebody in that hole, they're going to fall through that hole, and they're going to surpass terminal velocity. They're going to be going 17,500 miles an hour by the time they get near the core. Now, once they pass the core, are they going to come back out the other side, and are they going to slow down?
Kind of depend on their momentum. But if they're moving down, that's speed.
Well, sure.
What you're going to have to take into account at that point is the rotation of the Earth. And because of how fast they would be moving and the way gravity does work, the Earth would actually hit them. Your hole would have to be massively wide, like miles, for the rotation of the Earth. And then when they did, because of inertia, if the Earth wasn't spinning, they would kind of just kind of balance out in the middle eventually, right?
Right.
But because it is spinning, they'd shoot out the other side, and then as the Earth rotated, they'd come back down.
But doesn't that depend on where you actually dig the hole? Like, if you dug it at the poles, would that make a difference as opposed to digging it at the equator and expecting to come out?
Yeah, no, that would have. But the Earth sits on an axis, so that center piece is actually rotating.
Yeah.
And that's a tough question. 23 degrees or something like that.
Sure.
That
when the Shepherd first kind of come up with this article, I, you know, had a few questions about it, which neither of us bothered to look up the answers.
Yeah, because that would have taken 30 seconds, and we didn't have that kind of time.
We just didn't care that much, to be honest. But I thought that, like, all right, okay, you know, terminal velocity is like 128 feet per second, right? So, but that's, you know, taken into, regardless of where, say, you free fall out of a plane, you reach terminal velocity before your chute opens. But as you get closer to the Earth, that actually increases slightly. But if you were going through a hole, because the majority of the weight or mass of the Earth is actually in the center, gravitational pull would actually speed you up and change from terminal velocity to whatever speed that gravitational pull would affect. So it wouldn't ever be a constant speed past once you actually entered into the Earth past a few miles. But then when you pass the core of the Earth, the gravitational effect of the core would actually slow down your velocity exiting to the point where maybe that speed that you quoted is only enough to break through that barrier of that gravitational pull so that you could actually get out the other side of the Earth.
So, speaking of terminal velocity, something happened to my prior beer that all of it just it ran out. So, I'm opening my next beer, my Alien Cheers. Ale beer from Jason Board and Martian Margaritas, one of our sponsors. I think I salvaged that because other than the three people that understand physics, I think you lost everybody.
Well, it's one of those questions. It's one of those questions like, will there ever be a man born who will swim faster than a shark? Yes. It's probably not going to happen. It's me. Nobody's going to take the experiment.
It's me. I swim faster than a shark.
Yeah. Now, what's the biggest or deepest hole you've ever dug? Now, I know you said you've had, like, you know, like houses and big areas, but, you know, obviously the more weight, you know, for the foundation, surely the bigger hole you've got to kind
sure,
of
so over dig. Over here in the Fort Worth Stockyards, they're redoing quite a bit of it. And so they're doing what's called a lift station, which helps the whole area to process waste. And okay. So that was actually a 72-inch wide, so about 6 inches in diameter. And we went down around 18 and a half foot deep.
Oh, okay.
So, and they started hitting water over there. They wanted 19, but 18 and a half. But yeah, 6 foot wide is the widest I've ever done. And then the deepest I've ever done was 58 feet, and that was over there at the Dallas Water
Treatment. You see, Max and I thought it was going to be like about 9,000 or something.
No, I'm not in oil. I'm not in water. It's a different industry.
Yeah, we had high hopes.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, we kind of tend to exaggerate a lot of stuff we're talking about. So
I've told you a million times we shouldn't exaggerate.
Well, Exaggerators Anonymous has 9 billion members, so.
Yes.
As one of those members, just I am one of those members to make a point on that.
Yeah.
The name of our company used to be Bulldog Drilling, and I went to purchase a rig in Canada when I was bringing that across the border because it had drilling in it. They wanted a $32,000 tariff. So I had to quickly, much like I explain often, it's not oil. It's construction.
Right.
And that tariff went away very quickly.
Okay. Yeah. So note to self, we need to be in the tariff business of machinery coming over from Canada.
it's gotten worse. You'll make more money now than you did back in July of 2018.
Wow.
It's amazing. Every podcast we do, we have about three new career ideas that we're going to follow as soon as we get off the air. But
based off the fact that we are so lazy, we're never going to do it.
Press for time.
Yeah. Yeah, this studio was almost like next door to the shepherd's bedroom. That's how lazy we kind of got with the planning of it.
We lucked out there because I had that moment of clarity to say, hey, let's not do this.
Yeah.
And I actually decided, hey, I'm going to work for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So
Now, is the business pretty profitable? Do you have a lot of competition kind of around?
Or? So there is competition. Everybody, obviously, you want to kind of find your niche, your main customer base, and then do everything you can to add value to them and serve them. So it just kind of depends. About 6 or 7 weeks ago, we were sitting at 1% profit for the year.
Right.
And I was looking at laying some people off, hooking up with Ritchie Brothers Auction. But then we had a bunch of work come through. And so we're sitting at 17% for the year.
Okay. Right
That's now. Good.
So
it's not bad.
It's kind of what you make of it. We've had good and bad, but.
Now, how do you advertise? I mean, or do people actually actively seek you out? Because I would figure, again, like the questions we got from the mafia and the Mexican drug lords, they're kind of seeking people to dig holes rather than you waiting to kind of like reach out to them. So how do you, I mean, do you do a lot through social media? Is it, you know?
The number one way that we get customers is through word of mouth.
Okay.
So, and the only way to generate that is to have high quality service.
Right. Okay.
So what, we talked about it before with, you know, the fast and correct and everything, but what sets y'all apart? What is that one thing that if you could sit here and you had your ability right now, what you do to explain to everybody, here's why we're different. What would be that one thing that you would want to say to one of your potential customers as to why you're different than anybody else doing this?
Sure, I appreciate the opportunity. So, I mean, drilling the hole and getting a lot done in a little bit amount of time is a lot of work. And so, basically, the way our structure is set up, we reward and keep and retain and attract people that want to do a lot of work. And our system rejects, like a body would reject an organ, someone who wants to come to work, act like they're doing a lot of work, but in the end, they're not actually doing anything to benefit the bottom line of the company.
That's exactly us.
And so
it is. So we are not getting a job with them.
We're going to have to apply for in a fake name.
Yeah.
So the system being set up for that, it was a big thing. And then number two biggest part, and this really came before that system came, was I called a man named Chuck Denman out of Mount Pleasant. He's been digging holes since he's 11, Denman Drilling. And he's going to be 58 this year. And I call him the Yoda. You're wearing a Star Wars shirt, but I call him Yoda, and he calls me Crummer. And he really took me in as kind of a son and taught me how to actually do this properly. So we were doing things cheap. We were trying to save money here and there in areas that you really should have been investing.
Right.
And, you know, we were just struggling trying to figure out how to do this a right way for everybody and make money. And he really helped coach us on that. And he was verbally abusive, but it worked.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad.
Yeah.
So glad he did.
It does sometimes. I mean, sometimes you got to take a little bit of abuse to learn a good lesson.
Yeah.
It sounds like that worked out for you.
Although, funnily enough, I get a lot of cussing and verbal abuse on Xbox Live, and yet it doesn't make me be any better at the games I'm playing.
Yeah, that's true, because you're terrible at Rocket League.
I am terrible at Rocket League.
I know. I hate playing Xbox Live Rocket League with you because you're terrible and you bring my stats down.
Right.
I hate that.
It's like, I mean, I'm like a special needs kid who, not the autistic ones who are fantastic at those games. I'm at the ones who, like, I don't know, maybe don't have two arms or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
It made me almost want to quit Rocket League.
Yeah.
Because I love that game, but when I started playing with you, I just wanted to give it up.
Yeah. And we haven't played online since, actually, have we, in about
2 months? Yeah, we haven't, because you destroyed my rating, and I'm trying to build it back up.
Yeah.
It's been terrible. Ooh.
Now, do you ever come across sinkholes? Because, again, we're quite sensationalist. We did one podcast, again, the one on what do we believe, and convinced ourselves that the Yeti existed. But we also read some articles on sinkholes, and now we think they're everywhere. So do you ever come across, like, sinkholes or the equivalent?
I have yet to come across one of those. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's disappointing.
So what would you do if you came across a sinkhole? You know, you're
move backwards, probably.
Pray that I get to come back to this show and tell the tale, man.
Yeah.
The only time that we run into something like that is when you're digging, like, a 10 to 15-foot diameter hole. So on holes that size, you do have the potential for the rig to actually fall in.
Wow.
And so there's a special type of setup where you're anchoring your rig and positioning it and then making sure the soil can handle what you're doing to it. That's my best answer for that.
Yeah. Now, does your company own all of its machinery, or do you kind of lease it?
No.
My next question was actually going to be kind of, you know, is the majority of the cost really labor or the machinery when you average it out to dig a hole?
So the machines are run by the people. So the number one cost that we pay on every single thing that we do is ignorance. So one of the company, I know you're going to ask that question later, but anyway, I'll stick to it here. The number one cost, if you looked at our line items, right? So labor will show up as 20% of total expense. But the stuff that breaks on the machines is a direct cause of how it was used.
Sure.
So you may not see that. That's going to be in your repairs, parts, repairs, and maintenance line item on your expense report. But really what put it there was the labor.
Right.
So getting people who have a desire to dig a hole.
Sure.
Is really what it comes back
to. Now, is everybody you use your own employees, or do you actually have to get some subcontractors in if you've got a lot more business?
So I don't subcontract anything.
Okay.
So it's similar. I don't want to get too, you know, you wouldn't want to share your girlfriend, right? So in high school, you're dating, you know, you wouldn't.
Well, it depends.
Okay. Fair enough.
Let's not go there. Get that one.
Yep.
Edit this one out, Shepard.
Come on. There's a rabbit hole right there.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Remember what podcast you're on here.
Fair enough. we don't subcontract anything. We really like to, if it's not something we're capable of doing, we're just going to be up front with the customer and let them know that For us to service them in that area is probably going to price us out of a job. And we do offer them. I have a list of other my competitors who would better serve that niche.
Right.
And I put them in contact.
Now, we did have actually a couple of questions come in from people who were asking about fracking. Now, before, obviously, when we received those questions, we didn't know kind of what type of holes you dug or what type of depth.
Because that's how we,
you
know, research everything.
It would have taken too long to send a text and clarify things. But, you know, is that something which would be an easy kind of jump if you wanted to diversify in the company? Or is that something which is
so
way kind of out there?
Though they are completely different industries.
Yeah.
That would be as far of a jump as for someone to say go from being a medical doctor to an engineer.
Right.
So they're just, you have to be highly skilled at both.
Yeah.
But they are, the only thing that's similar is the hole in the ground.
Yeah.
The purpose of the hole, the depth of the hole, the how you accomplish the task, the amount of people and resources and engineers and materials needed are vastly different.
Yeah. You see, the only thing really the Shepherd and I know about fracking is that it's got something to do with oil, and we know how to spell the word, so we kind of figured we'd ask that question.
Fracking. Okay. I'm sorry. I misheard you. I thought you said a different word.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now, do you have to have, like, a lot of different type of super techie equipment, like radar equipment, to, you know, work out what type of ground you're building into? You know, I mean, I should imagine you've got to know, and that changes the price of stuff if it's going to be a harder job.
Absolutely. So it's a great question. So y'all have heard of 811?
No. Nope.
You know, okay, 911 is if you have a medical.
We've heard of 911.
Okay, so hopefully you don't have to use
it. We had to dial it twice last week, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
We did.
So 811 is a drilling service
that's
local. They'll come out and they'll check for utilities and things of that nature before you drill or excavate of any kind. And so they'll come out and really survey and they test all that. But anytime someone's going to build a house or of any kind of foundation, what will happen is they send out a geotechnical report.
All right. And sorry, so I'm just writing down to make sure we don't misdial 811 instead of 911 because it's going to be a completely different service coming out. But that's does that, when you get, whether it be an individual or commercial or government, do they tend to do that kind of research of how hard
Absolutely.
It is, or
they,
do you,
they
or
have
do you do
to.
It?
They have. No, they have to do that because based on what material they find, they will actually drill a hole in the ground.
Right. Okay.
One very small hole. And they bring up soil samples for the geotechnical engineer to check out.
Okay.
Based on what they find, then the structural engineer will design the pier.
Okay.
The pier slab for it.
So you're able to actually right off the bat give them a reasonably kind of accurate cost of how much it will cost rather than it being a surprise after you do your own
That's one of the things we do differently than some even just contractors in the construction industry is there's zero pricing surprises with us. And because we do business that way, we get to collect our money in 11 days on average, which is six times faster than the fastest company in
that's
the market.
That's not a long back end for that type of work.
And people that I have friends in this industry, not just drilling holes, but in the construction industry, that if they collect their money in 60 days, it's like Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there looking at them like, bro, you're a bank for 2 months, two, three months. That's insane.
Yeah.
But that's how they do it. And that's...
And when you kind of look at those deals, I've heard that the North Texas soil is kind of unique. It's kind of difficult. Can you walk us through why it's kind of hard, especially with the piers and everything in North Texas? It's so hard to dig the holes and put the piers in? What is going on with our soil up here? Why it's so hard?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with our soil.
Okay.
So what makes it hard is people that are ignorant about how to handle it properly. That
nice.
Is the only hard part.
So why are they ignorant? So let's dispel the ignorance. Explain to everybody why we can get away from this and explain to everybody why it's not bad and what they can do about it.
So first thing I'll tell anyone is if you're hiring someone to do anything, let's say you're dealing with a dentist, okay? They're drilling holes in your teeth to drill out the cavity, correct? So if there's something complicated about that for that dentist, you know right there, I need to walk out the front door right. and go find someone who is mm-hmm. competent at this process. So it's very easy to get into a construction company. There's almost no cost to entry. If you have decent credit, you can go borrow money, get a piece of equipment or whatever, and you're ready to go. Mm. You can't do that to be a dentist. You got to go yeah. to school. To be a hole digger, you got to go get, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 loan. You can do it on your house. You can do all kinds of things.
Right.
Just because you can finance a piece of equipment doesn't mean that you know what you're doing. Mm. And so that's the difference.
Right.
So I've had three calls just today of people kind of that same concern. And you can tell they've been bit by people who were bluffing about being able, not necessarily to dig the hole, but framing, concrete, electrical, conduit work, drainage, you know, erosion control. There's nothing complicated about digging a hole in the ground unless
well,
you don't know
well,
what's going.
Well, of course you say there's nothing complicated because you know all that, right?
Sure. But I can teach someone how to do it too.
Yeah, but well, and we're not necessarily talking about you teaching somebody how to do it, but how does the normal person okay. avoid those problems? The guy that has equity in their home and decides he's going to go do this and doesn't know what he's doing. What does the normal person need to look for when they want to trust somebody to do this?
Well, if they're wanting to do it themselves, like I did, I would highly recommend not going out and just, oh, I can do this, and then start doing it. You're going to burn 5 to 7 years. I've lost $130,000 in one day doing this, trying to profit $300,000 in 1 year, right? So getting a mentor, I've wrote a book. It's on Amazon. It's called How to Dig Holes Profitably, The Lion, the Devil, and the Man. If you're wanting to do this, that you won't make a lot of money following that book perfectly, but you won't lose money. And then okay. and then the making the money will come with customer base, upping your price, proving yourself, and a few more conversations. But
And by the way, we'll have that link on our side if you want to check
awesome.
Out that
well,
book.
I appreciate that. But to avoid, you know, you talk to an executive, right? So how do you get good judgment? Well, bad judgment. That's how you get good judgment.
Sure.
Unfortunately, that education process of how do you take an average Joe and get them up to speed on how to not hire someone that doesn't know what they're doing, we'll go hire three people that don't know what they're doing, and then you will know not to hire someone that doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
And I wish that wasn't the answer, but that's the answer.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense.
I get that. I can't believe we've got another published author on the podcast because the Shepherd has a pretty successful trilogy of books about bicycle
Congratulations.
Gangs. I wrote a book that got published about a hedgehog with a flashlight who used to go to raves. That was a children's book I wrote when I was in England.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yours is probably a little bit more technical than ours, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yours probably has more readers.
I can't imagine writing a book that technical. So yeah.
Thankfully, I didn't have to do the illustrations to the book because the Shepherd and I cannot draw for. If you've actually gone on our Facebook group, you can have some genuine examples of my artistic ability and the yeah. Shepherd's kind of roughly around that.
And maybe we need to have a Pictionary contest and see how terrible we would do.
It would be like
an hour and a half to guess.
It'd be like
whatever we draw.
72 hours for round one.
Yes. Yeah. It would be terrible.
Yeah. Now, you've got to have some funny stories that you know, have happened to you because absolutely, you know, everybody we interview, it doesn't matter what, you know, field of expertise they're in, they all have some funny stories of stuff that's gone on. I mean, I spoke to an embalmer one time and even he had funny stories about, you know, trying to make the dead look pretty. So
yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Give us a funny story about digging holes.
Yeah.
Well, so the oddest thing I've ever encountered in the ground is we pulled up a Honda Accord's door. And obviously that was not in the bid. I'm supposed to be drilling dirt, not scrap metal or cars, right? So that was probably one of the more interesting ones.
Did you put it on Craigslist and try to sell the door?
Was it in good condition?
Well, by the time we were done with it, no.
No.
What color was it?
It was red. It was red.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a popular color for a Honda Accord.
The only reason we're asking this is because we're trying to sell a lot of the stuff in the studio here and then next door's office on Craigslist and on Facebook Marketplace. So if you still have that door, we could maybe add it to our portfolio.
I mean, we do have that 48-inch TV from 1998 we're trying to get rid of, and we've had no success from that. So
we might end up it's one of those things you're selling where you start off with like, we're trying to sell it for $50 and buy a must collect, but it's going to end up, we're going to have to give somebody $50 and deliver it.
Right. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah. Rough.
Now, do you have any other companies, any other ventures, or is this your all-in thing?
Yeah. So, you know, the idea is you work the active to build the passive to avoid taxes and get massive. So notice I said avoid.
Can you repeat that slowly?
Sure. So you work the active to build the passive to avoid taxes and get massive. That's okay.
So that sounds like something my daughter would do in a cheer back when she was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Because I can just see somebody dancing around with that because it's so poetic.
It sounds to
and,
me like
and a, I know that's yeah. why you told him to slow down because I was like, God, man, well, that's
sounded,
poetic.
Well, it sounded to me like, I mean, an erectile dysfunction.
That could be a Cardi B song. Let's be honest. Yeah. That could be a Cardi B song. Yeah. Maybe you're in the wrong industry. Maybe you should be writing pop songs.
Potentially.
That was
another
great.
Venture.
So back to the question. Do you have any other companies or kind of ventures going on?
Absolutely. And they all exist for the sole purpose of maximizing our tax credits. And trying not to evade taxes, which will get you in jail or prison or whatever, but to avoid them and be efficient. So the first one is obviously the drilling. That'd be the active side of the business. And then should that company turn a profit, we want to eliminate that as quickly as possible by the end of the year. So we would either buy equipment and depreciate it or buy real estate and then sort of venture it that way. So we own the company that, or we own the property that the drilling company is on. So we lease the property for, you know, all of that. And then lastly, we have the education company called Straight Drilling, STR, and then the number 8.
Okay.
And that is for taking people who want to learn how to drill, or at least say they want to learn. And so we kind of, someone applies, they seem to have the spark.
Yeah.
The spark of stupidity. They don't know what they're getting into.
What's the washout rate? I mean, how many people do you come in that want to learn this and then can't do it?
I would say
50-50?
No, 20% currently, because for me or anyone in our company to consider you, we're going to ask questions, and it's going to be very clear to the person that they're expected to work. So before they even get through the 30-minute, you know, hiring, just the first part of the 7-part hiring phase, that eliminates a lot of options.
7-part hiring phase. Yeah, realize you and I could never do this.
Well, I was actually going to suggest he invests in this podcast because then he can write it off immediately. He won't even have to wait till the end of the text show.
That wouldn't be a bad marketing strategy. I mean, we could get a plug in there. No.
Now, somebody actually wanted to get in touch with you about building a hole. Now, obviously, you said you had, you know, you're building like, sorry, digging, not building. 28.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you don't build a hole.
Well,
you ravage the ground.
Maybe taken away from.
UK,
not
maybe in
to.
The UK. You got to remember, we're in America now. Right. We don't subscribe to your crazy
UK
things.
Well, if somebody wanted to dig a hole, what information normally up front would somebody have to get you? I mean, because like if the shepherd said, I want a hole dug in my backyard because I want to build an extension or whatever. I mean,
I call you and I say, my daughter has a pet rabbit and she starved it to death and I'm too lazy to get out there and dig a hole to bury the rabbit in the backyard.
Well, for you.
Because that did happen.
Well, for you, that's
so maybe I. But maybe I want to call a professional hole digging company because I do not want to have to worry about that rabbit
I've known you one foot
above the ground because you know how lazy I am and I'm just going to cover like a little bit of dirt on the top of it and I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. The rabbit is fine.
No, I've known you too long. You're just going to put it in the recycle bin and put it out with the trash.
Stop letting out my secrets.
Too much honesty.
We talked about this before.
But if somebody did actually want, you know, I guess, a whole building for an extension of the house or sure. whatever. I mean, what type of information do they normally have to get you up front? Because honestly, if I was asking somebody to dig a hole, I'd just be like, can you come and dig a hole?
Sure. Right. And we would immediately tell that you don't know why you're wanting a hole. Yeah. And so we would work out that conversation pretty yeah. quick. So, but the main information is going to be how deep, how wide, how many.
Yeah.
What's its purpose? Where is it located?
Yeah.
Who's the engineer? And when do you want it done?
Right. Now with digging holes as opposed to building stuff, do you still have issue with like city permits and all this stuff?
That was one of the biggest issues during COVID. We would, you know, in general, we have somewhere between 17 to 23 jobs under contract that we're working to get through our schedule. And we right. can balance it out right there.
Yeah.
During COVID, there was one point where we had 92 jobs under contract, especially over in the South Lake Carrollton, Grapevine sort of area.
Yeah.
Because the permits were sitting on the desk of someone who physically was not there to sign them.
Oh, okay.
And so, but came out of that. But that's
what kind of leading on from that? I mean, is, sure. you know, COVID really affected business
yeah.
to a negative expense outside of other people doing their job? Because I wouldn't think that there's too many restrictions on you in terms of,
sure.
you know, digging holes. If people want a hole dug, they need a hole dug. But
so yeah. our business actually blew up during COVID more so than, I mean, it was already growing and we've been making moves.
Were they trying to hide the dead bodies in COVID? Yeah, yeah. And that's why everybody was calling
the same holes that they're yeah. burying the mail-in votes, man. Yeah, we threw them all right? together.
Yeah.
No, it was really a combination. This is a little off topic from COVID, but the forest fires in California burns up a lot of houses. Then you right. have Facebook, IBM, Toyota, several other job creators moving major industry into Texas. To rebuild in California just to get through the permits costs 2 years.
Wow.
Just to get started, 2 years. And insurance covered, like homeowners insurance, if your house burns down, they'll cover you for a year.
Now, do you get any money up front from that, or do you actually have to wait till that contract comes into full force before we actually...
They deal with a builder on all of it. But what that's done is it has funneled hundreds of thousands of human beings out of other parts of the country, especially even parts that were locked down because of COVID.
Right.
And here, Texas is still rolling relative yeah. to a lot of the rest of the country.
Absolutely.
So people are just, it's just nonstop. I bought two rigs, not last week, but the week before to help keep up
wow.
with how much is just continually.
Yeah. And you coming. Bought one of those from me. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Anytime, Max.
Now, do you have an end game with your business? Is this something you want to build to like super, super like largest in the United States, larger than the southern part of the United States, and eventually you're just going to sell it? Or do you think this is something you're going to keep a passion for, you know, for sure. decades and kind of keep up?
I do really enjoy it. The business more than the actual digging of the hole, but our immediate goal is to kind of become a regional powerhouse and start.
Okay.
We've got our equipment where we need it. We're going to start buying up other smaller drilling companies in the area.
Right.
And we have the franchise model, which is why we created the education company first.
Okay.
To help teach new owner operators how to function successfully in their hole digging business.
So tell us a little bit about the education company.
Sure. So, I mean, basically, we teach you the full spectrum business side of it, which would apply to any business, not just ours. And then we teach you the ebbs and the flow of how weather is absolutely going to, you know, we had one day of drilling this week, tomorrow.
Okay.
We haven't drilled for 4 days.
Gotcha.
So that's absolutely going to impact the bottom line.
Well, but let's be honest, the weather has sucked here this week. So was weather an issue?
Yeah, we didn't drill any, you know, 2,800 holes a month divided by 4 weeks roughly is 700 holes a week.
Right.
We'll probably drill 200 holes this week.
Wow.
So that's absolutely going to show up financially.
But payroll was the same. But was it weather?
Yeah.
Did weather, you know, kind of.
Yeah, you can't get a 72,000 pound iron machine
right.
out on the mud.
Because it's yeah. been rainy. Like I told some friends from New England, I said, you know what? Hey, your weather is drunk in my front yard. Will you please come pick it up? Because this is not what we are used to in Texas.
Sure, sure.
So obviously weather affects that.
Yeah, in our industry, that's absolutely. So helping people understand that they're not necessarily doing something wrong and that they do need to save money for a rainy day and how to do that properly, excuse me, what proper looks like, and then basically getting them up to speed on any from hard rotting their augers, building their own augers if they're not in a cash position to buy a new one, taking care of their equipment, upgrading their equipment. When is it time to sell a piece of equipment? How do you properly manage tax strategies and move equipment in and out of your business? Acquiring, keeping, and maintaining awesome customers. You know, that whole thing is like a college education, right? I mean, but it makes money. Not like my college degree. Hmm. But so that's the value of the education company. Whether you're trying to be the best whole man you can be, the best operator you can be, the best manager, supervisor, salesman, owner, operator, whatever their objective is, and they can take it a bite. You know, you're not going to get it all in one bite. You know, it's going to be a bite at a time.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
Now with them, the weather, obviously, it's understandable that, you know, with a lot of rain, getting heavy duty equipment out on mud, it's kind of almost impossible.
Even if I drilled the hole, they can't fill it with concrete.
Right. But, you know, when you have, you know, a freeze, does that really affect things too much? Because surely that only freezes a certain depth
soil. That's a great question. So for us to drill a hole and it pass inspection, they need to pour it within 8 hours. Sometimes you get a 24-hour window to fill the hole up with concrete.
Okay.
And when it freezes, one of the main components of concrete is water.
Yeah.
So when it freezes, that can, not always, but it can cause delays.
Oh, wow.
So if it's going to be 32 degrees at the high all day, they don't want you to drill because they can't pour today.
Because I didn't know how deep, you know, when you have a frost, maybe the temperature drops to freezing across a week.
In Texas, how it's deep 18
it goes.
Inches.
Yeah, how deep inches. It actually goes. Wow. 18. Okay. Yeah. Now, I did actually have two questions from a couple of my English friends here.
I got a buddy over there. His name's Sol Gustavus. I've been playing Xbox with him for years.
Okay.
Love that guy.
The first one, and you might not understand this one, but this is quite an English phrase, is any hole a goal?
There's a company in Oklahoma called Okie Drilling from 1964 to 1987. Yeah. And their slogan was, your hole is my goal.
Yeah.
It's been on t-shirts, right. Hats, and all kinds of different things. Sure. Absolutely. I'd love, kinda, right, love yeah. to
kind of like the the septic pumpers that say, you know, that this tank is full of political promises.
You should have left it at septic pumpers, really.
Okay.
But the other question, and this is obviously from somebody who didn't know, like us, kind of what type of holes you dig and everything else, but was a... Are you going to dig your own grave to cut down on funeral costs?
I hope if I've done my job well.
Or do you do family references? So like if like great auntie Nora dies, you know, are you going to go in there and kind of knock 1500 off the... Mind you, he's already said he's going to charge 80,000 for a shallow grave, so it's probably not the right person to go to.
Because the purpose was hiding a dead body, and there's a lot of processing involved. And it's not just 80,000, it's 80,000 in gold.
Oh,
exactly.
Massively different.
So before we close, and I'm going to hit you with one that we didn't talk about here. And actually, I printed out an article and I was going to talk to you about this borehole over in Russia. But I decided against that. I want to hit you with a different one.
Okay.
Oak Island.
Okay.
So the whole story with Oak Island is they have this, you know, hole that's buried there. That's like whatever it is, 130, 140 feet deep.
How'd you bury a hole? Do you mean fill it in?
Well, no, they have this shaft that
clog the top.
Put a lid on it.
Yeah, that has all these traps and everything. As a professional hole digger, you've got to kind of look at that, even if you don't study it that much or whatever, and you've got to kind of laugh at maybe some of this. So have you looked at any of the Oak Island kind of stories, the theories of what's going on with that, and whether or not they could actually accomplish what the old school stories are behind Oak Island?
Man, this is the first I've heard of Oak Island. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
First off, I'm hearing that it's 120, 180 feet. That sounds like a water well. But how wide is the hole?
Nobody knows. And I think this is a beautiful segue and kind of a beautiful kind of way to shut this down, because now we've told him about Oak Island and what's going on there. And now, you know, he's going to go back and kind of maybe take a look at that, because that is one of those deals where, what is it, the Laginas that now own all that, they're trying to dig this up. They think the Knights Templar have this, and it was all this fantastical thing that was built long ago. And now you have a professional hole digger that doesn't even know about this and could probably tell them how to solve it. Yeah,
maybe. Now, before we kind of sign off on this, Bill, can you give us, I'm sure you got a website and everything else. Can you just kind of give us a guide of how people get in touch with you? We'll put it on our Facebook page. We'll put it on the links on our podcast, but just if you want to let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Well, first off, I just want to say thank you guys for letting me come on.
Absolutely. It's been great. No, seriously, thank you. We appreciate you coming on here.
Absolutely. No, if anybody wanted to, reach out to us, whether they were wanting to open a hole digging franchise or maybe they're tired of spending all the money to drill holes, they've got a bigger construction company and they want to go ahead and bring the holes in-house, I'd love to reach out and talk with these people. And it's very simple. Very simple. But fndpiers.com, if you're looking for service, whether you're fixing to go into a new residential area and you're wanting to do piers throughout there, we have our references with Royal Crest as engineers, also with Whitworth Engineering. We worked with dozens of others around here, but those are our primary ones that we work with. If you have anything for bidding purposes, that's going to be information.fndpiers@gmail.com. And then if you'd like to reach out to me personally, my phone number is 940-255-3719. Again, my name is Bill, and I'd love to talk to you about digging holes.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure having you on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill. And thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. We certainly appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. And all the links for this will be on our Facebook site, on our Instagram, all that good stuff. And we'll catch you on the next one.